Good morning, everyone. The last few weeks, I've been giving a message, the sermon. The topic to me in my heart was about revival. It's about revival. And I want to continue. And the title of the message is Revival and Faith. Okay, Revival and Faith. And, you know, in the past, you know, when I was thinking about revival, I thought for revival to happen, right? For revival to happen, you need a righteous government with righteous legislation, you know. We need nations that hold on to the Christian values. We need godly school system where prayer is not prohibited. A justice system in this country that believe in the Ten Commandments. And I thought, you know, for revival, we need clean and wholesome TV shows. You know, that was my past thinking. And but my view of revival has changed. And I don't know if you want to hear this. You know, when I talk about, well, first, revival, when I talk about revival, it's just God's power, you know, his presence, you know, there's change, there's transformation, there's breakthrough, there's spiritual victory. People are coming to the Lord, people are being saved, there's new believers, there's discipleship happening in the church, you know. And revival's not just this emotional, there's just true transformation, and there's missions, you know, happening, where Christians are reaching nations, you know. And revival, this is my understanding now, revival happens in the midst of, and this is the new thing that I see about revival. Revival happens in the midst of pain. It happens in the midst of suffering, trials, where you're shaking in our life, in the midst of our own weaknesses, in the midst of spiritual attack. You know, I'm kind of experiencing, you know, understanding or getting a taste of revival in my personal life as I'm going through this journey of powerlessness. I'm going through this journey of powerlessness. And in this journey, you know, I'm seeing God is becoming more real to me. You know, I could hear him more clearly. But it's in this weakness that I'm going through. It's in this weakness that I'm going through. Because, you know, in order to get to the next mountaintop, there's a higher mountain spiritually that God wants us to go to, right? You can't jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. But instead, to get to the next mountaintop, you have to go through the valley. And in the valley, that's where we learn. This is where we change and we transform and we are prepared to get to the next mountaintop. That's why the psalmist says, in the valley I will fear no evil. And this is something that we are responsible for. As we are going through the valley, you need to say as a church, we need to believe this as a church, I will fear no evil. But why do we not fear no evil? The psalmist says, because you are with me. Okay, say to your neighbor, God is with you. Okay? You know, God changed Moses in the wilderness to prepare him to be a deliverer of God's people. God changed Joseph in the Potiphar's house as a slave and in the jailhouse as a prisoner. And God used Elijah to bring revival when the nation was in apostasy. There was an idol worship on every hilltop. There was 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of Asherah and only one prophet of God, Elijah. He was all alone. And this is the promise of God concerning revival in the Bible. Okay? This is the promise of God. God promised us the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8. And God says this in Joel chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit on all people. I will pour out my spirit on all people. And in Jeremiah 29, you know, the plan that God has for you and me is to give you and me hope and a future. That's what Jeremiah 29 says. And in Matthew 28, God called his people to disciple nations. This is a calling. And God doesn't call us to do something to fail. Okay? God calls us to do something, and this is like humanly impossible task, but we are able to do it. First, God called us. He promised in his word, we will make disciples of all nations, and then he is with us, and he will give us that power to do this. Okay? We will be, so say to your neighbor, we can do it. Okay? So can you put up Exodus chapter 3? Okay? I don't know why. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Okay? Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. And God said, okay, this is to his people, right, when they were in Egypt under slavery. Yeah? God says, I have taken a good long look at the affliction of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their slave masters. I know all their pain, and I now I have come down to help them, pry them loose from the grip of Egypt, get them out of that country, and bring them to a good land with wide open spaces, a land lush with milk and honey, a land of the Canaanite, you know, right? And so, what is the truth? Okay, what is the truth? Okay, this is the truth. While they were in slavery, this is the truth, while they're going through a hard time, the people of God was going through a hard time, God sees their affliction, and he says, God knows all their pain, God hears their cries, hears their, you know, their cries for deliverance, and God says, I have come down to help you, to set you free, to lead you, to bring you to a land where they're going to conquer that land. Okay? This is the promise of God. And what happens, you know, you could try Numbers, you know, God's people saw the promised land in Numbers 14. They saw the promised land. What they saw with their own eyes, okay? With their own eyes, when they saw that land, they saw giants. They saw fortified cities, in other words, strongholds. And when they saw themselves, grasshoppers, you know, we're grasshoppers. So they saw giants, they saw stronghold, and when they looked at themselves, they saw their own weakness. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. Now, what is faith? Okay. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is assurance of what we do not see. Okay? This is faith. Assurance, you know, of what we do not see. Faith is not wishful thinking. That's not what faith is, biblical faith. It's not positive thinking. Right? That's what the world does. You know, best they could do, positive thinking. Right? But that's not biblical thinking. What is biblical faith? What does it mean having this assurance? There's something that you could hold on to, this assurance. Okay? It's not just, oh, I'm just going to pretend or, you know, think positively. There's something that, there's this assurance that you're supposed to hold on to. It is believing in the promise of God, believing that God, what God says is going to happen is true. Okay? That's the assurance when we don't see that promise. That's faith. Okay? When we don't see that promise. Assurance of what we do not see. Now, the Israelites, when they saw the promised land, they saw with their own eyes. They saw the giants, they saw the stronghold, they saw themselves as grasshoppers, saw their weakness, and you know, they just came out of slavery. They were weak, okay? Compared to the other countries they saw themselves. And but couldn't believe what they could not see. This assurance of what they did not see. What did they not see? They knew it, but they couldn't see it. God told them, I see your affliction, I know your pain, I hear your cries, I have come down to help you, I will set you free, I will give you victory in this new land. Okay? They couldn't see that. So faith is not denying the giant, you know, the promised land had giants. they were giants. It's not denying the giant. The promised land had strongholds, fortified cities. Jericho, impossible. They will see that city, and the walls were so high, so thick, that people lived on the wall. Yeah? They're strong. It's not denying this. It's not denying your weakness. Okay? And if I look at my heart, there's a lot of weaknesses. There's a lot of grasshoppers. Okay? But in the midst of seeing giants, stronghold, and your own personal weakness, faith is believing in what you don't see. You and I need to see with the eyes of faith. We see with our physical eyes, but as a Christian, we're called to have another perspective that's higher than what we see with our physical eyes. As Christians, we're called to see with the eyes of faith, assurance of the things that we cannot see. At that time, there was two people that did that. There was Caleb and Joshua. Okay? Yes, they saw the giants too. They saw the stronghold. They saw their own weakness. Caleb and Joshua, they were the only two, also look with the eyes of faith. Okay? So this is what they said. Yes, they are big, but don't be afraid of them. That's what they said. Don't be afraid of them. They are helpless. They have no protection. Why? They tell that this is what they said. The Lord is with us. Okay? There's giants around you. There's a stronghold. And you see your weakness. And we've got to look with the eyes of faith. As a church, say to your neighbor, this is what we are believing as a church. The Lord is with us. Okay? The Lord is with us. So what Caleb and Joshua was saying, remember his promise. He sees us. He hears us. He will help us. God will lead us. God will give us victory. You know, God's promise for us, you know, the Bible says, to all who receive Jesus, those who believe in Jesus have the right to become children of God. Okay? And as his children, we have spiritual inheritance. Psalm 37 says, this inheritance is eternal. Okay? 1 Peter 1 says, this inheritance is priceless. And Ephesians 1 says, everything that we need, every spiritual blessing, okay? We have every spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus. Okay? Let's believe that together. So your neighbor, you have every spiritual blessing. Okay? And so what that means is we have the inheritance we could tap into forgiveness, connection with God, there's eternal life, our identity is in Jesus, there's purpose, there's destiny, we have the answer to who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I headed? What is my purpose? Huh? So some of you go, you know, what is, you know, especially if you're young and you're high school and junior high, maybe in college, what is my purpose? Huh? And it's not, you know, it's not easy. But you gotta also look with the eyes of faith. Okay? God has a purpose for me. You gotta speak that out too. You know, you take an exam, you don't do well. Oh, you see giants. There's a struggle. There's no, I don't know about my future. No, God created me. I'm created in his image and his likeness. I'm not an accident. I'm not a mistake here. God has a purpose for my life. God has a destiny for my life. Be Caleb's. And be Joshua's, as you see the giants, the stronghold, and the grasshoppers. Amen, young people? Amen? Amen. So you know, again, but not just this purpose. The Bible says we as believers in Christ, we're going to change the world. I thought you'd get excited about that. We're going to change the world. Right? Meaning, God's going to use us to bring revival. Okay, revival. This promise, you can't earn it. It is by the grace of God. It's because Jesus paid the penalty, you know, on the cross. We have all the spiritual blessing. It's not based on performance or achievement. It's not based on how smart you are, because if it is, I'm in trouble. Huh? I'm in trouble. It's not based on your ability. It's not how hard you work. You can't buy it. But to open this promise, the spiritual promise, it's a spiritual promise. The key to that door, to this promise, is faith. It's biblical faith. Huh? For example, eternal life, the Bible says, is a gift. Right? But to open this gift, you need biblical faith to open this gift of eternal life. Yeah. Why faith? If it's ability, if it's just talent and ability, and only the most talented will be used to bring revival. If it's intelligence, like I said, if it's intelligent, I'm in trouble. Okay? Those with the highest IQ will be used for revival. If it's money, I'm in trouble here too. Okay? If it's money, okay, only the rich can be used to bring revival. Okay? God doesn't look at those things. God looks at our heart. God gives everyone a chance to be part of this. No matter what your DNA, no matter what your IQ, no matter what your personality, no matter what culture you come from, no matter man or woman, high school or elementary or college. Okay? This is something that we all could do. As a church, we can make a choice to live by faith. To live by faith. I say to your neighbor, I want to live by faith. Say to your neighbor, I want to grow in faith. You know, but it's not easy. Oh, it's not easy. I'm just being honest. I wish I could buy it. You know, I think that's easier. You know, get all the money together. Let's buy revival. I think it would be easier to buy it. I'm just speaking honestly. You know, it's not easy. Because why? Because we put our faith primarily when it gets difficult on so many other things. You know, on our own human effort, on what we have in the bank, in our intelligence, in our good ideas. And we also, when it gets hard, this is what we do. We put our faith in things, oh, that's not good, okay? We devote much of our faith when things get hard to fear. We devote our faith to lies. We get caught up in our past mistakes. We get caught up with other people's mistakes. When it gets difficult, you start remembering everybody that hurt you, everybody that rejected you. But Catalyst, let's make a choice. This day, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to play the victim. I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to become disillusioned. I'm not going to be hopeless. I'm not going to hide. Right? It's not easy to walk out in faith. Right? Why? Because every day the enemy will accuse you. You know, we're filled with, in our heart, grasshoppers. Okay, doubts, fear, shame, condemnation, guilt. We're filled with grasshoppers, bitterness, selfishness. We're filled with grasshoppers in our heart. Many of us come from dysfunctional family, and because of that, it is, you know, we complain, we get bitter, we feel sorry for ourselves, and we choose to live a life of unbelief. Okay? We choose to live a life of unbelief. But Catalyst, let's refuse to do that. Okay? Yeah, 12 out of 12, 10 people choose to go live a life of unbelief. But we're going to be the two. Caleb and Joshua. We're going to be the Caleb generation. I know a lot of people say, we're going to be the Joshua generation. Huh? We're going to be the Caleb church, Joshua church. Huh? In hard times, you know, we see with the physical eyes, okay, the giants, the stronghold, you know, the grasshoppers, meaning there's spiritual attack. There's lies, there's shame, there's guilt, there's condemnation, there's failures, there's hopelessness. I'm not asking you to deny them. You know, when Caleb went into the promised land, they saw giants, they go, oh, I'm going to pretend they're small. He didn't do that. Okay, they didn't do that. I'm not asking you to deny them. I'm not asking you to run away from them. I'm not asking you, because of the difficulties in your life, numb yourself with alcohol, drugs, junk food, porn, sex, or video game. I'm not asking you to medicate it or hide it. I'm not asking you to choose a short-term comfort as a solution to the hard time that you're going through. In our hard time, what happens when we do that is that we put our identity in brokenness. Our identity with our dysfunction, then we lose hope. We go, I will always be an addict. I will always be an alcoholic. I'll never be free from porn. I will always be fearful. I will always be depressed. I will always be bitter. I will never change. This is who I am. Right? Yeah, you might have been abandoned, but that does not, if you're a Christian, that's not your identity. That's not what defines you. Okay? You might be going through a really hard time in your job. Your boss is, you know, looking down on you. That's not who you are. Your identity is not in your disability, but who you are in Jesus Christ. Your identity is not rejection. We all got rejected, but that's not our identity. You and I are a child of God. I am not asking you to deny the hardship, the brokenness, the disappointment, the rejection. But what I am asking, don't let it become your life sentence. Okay? Don't let it become your life sentence. Don't just look with the physical eyes. Okay? You can't deny it. I'm not asking you to deny it. It's there. It's hard. Right? But as a Christian, we got to also look with the spiritual eyes, with the eyes of faith. Yes, there are giants, strongholds, There's shame and condemnation, grasshoppers. Yes, we don't have all the answer. Yes, we live in a broken world. Yes, life is extremely hard. It's hard. Okay? But what I'm asking this church, don't let that be your life sentence. Don't get stuck there. Don't stop there. The Israelite, not only were they stuck, they went even further. They want to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, there's another option. Huh? Say to your neighbor, there's another option. Huh? Okay. Egypt is not our destiny. Okay, we don't want to go to Egypt. We don't want to be stuck in the wilderness. The other option is we could look with the eyes of faith. The promise that God gave his people in the wilderness. God says to you and me, okay, in the midst of giants, stronghold, and grasshoppers, God says to you and me, I see your affliction. I know all your pain. I hear your cries for deliverance. I have come to help you. I have come to set you free. I will lead you. I will give you victory in this land. God's people said, amen. Amen.